Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody out there is doing well. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I got a texture that says, I say we run the Wildcat with Logan Woodside and have Tannehill out wide. Nobody's going to cover him, so just keep throwing it to him. That's the game plan. I mean, Tannehill has been wide open on some of these Wildcat plays.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
We know he can catch the ball.
Speaking of which, I mean, I'm trying to think. Adrian Peterson, how is he as a passer? Can they do the jump pass with Adrian Peterson, or is that a McNichols thing?
That's a good question. Maybe a Deontay Foreman thing.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to rule him out. See, I mean, he's a big power back, so you don't think of good passing. But
that's exactly why it could work.
But I shouldn't make assumptions. He may be an incredible passer. Yeah, I like that. The Logan Woodside, Tannehill, stacked deck backfield.
Yeah.
I like it.
By the way, a big-time trade going down in the NHL. Jack Eichel has been traded from the Buffalo Sabres to the Vegas Golden Knights, in return for Alex Tuch, a 2022 first-round pick, a third-rounder in 2023, and Peyton Krebs as well. Vegas also acquiring a third-round pick in 2023. So Jack Eichel on his way to the Vegas Golden Knights. So it's been a long saga with Jack Eichel, a big-name player in the NHL, and lots of drama with him and the Buffalo Sabres about his injury and how to best go about treating that, and it's been a stalemate, and now it's been done. Jack Eichel has been traded to the Vegas Golden Knights. So, he's not going to play anytime soon, but he's been traded to the Vegas Golden Knights.
So long-term, what does this mean? Like is it going to turn out that he's as valuable as some people believe, and that Buffalo has just, you know, like, has held him back, as you know, all the issues there are shrouding the fact that you've got a potentially great player for many years in this league?
Look, I think he's a really good player, you know, and I think a lot of it's going to depend on, you know, he's got a neck injury that he's dealing with right now. I mean, that's a whatever surgery he's trying to get done. I would be cautious about that if I'm a team out there. Now, look, he's a great player. I mean, last time he was fully healthy was in 1920. He had 36 goals, 42 assists, 78 points in 68 games. So, I mean, he was really good that year. It is kind of funny to me because he was drafted in the same year as Connor McDavid. And, like, for a brief stretch of time, there was a legitimate conversation out there of, hey, should you draft Connor McDavid or Jack Eichel with the first overall pick? I think Oilers probably made the right pick with that one, with McDavid.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Look, he's a really good player. Is he an elite player? I don't think so. I think he's really, really good. I don't know that he's, you know, Nathan McKinnon or anything like that. So, we'll see. A lot of it depends on how he heals from this injury.
Vegas, making moves, man.
Always making moves. Speaking of making moves, recruiting, as we know, the name of the game in the SEC, and Josh Heupel and company, as you look at their tape, and we've talked about it many times, I think the offense, you've got a lot to feel good about if you're a recruit out there and you're a skill player specifically. You look at this Josh Heupel offense and you think to yourself, that seems like a lot of fun. That seems like a place where I could go and be really productive, whether you're a running back, wide receiver, quarterback, whatever the case may be. But that was also the big question when Josh Heupel was hired, is how is he going to be able to recruit? It was not going overly well at UCF. Can he turn that around at a place like Tennessee and recruit in the SEC, which, as we know, other than asking Dan Mullen in the SEC, it's the name of the game. How is the recruiting going for Josh Heupel and the Vols so far? And given everything that's happened with this program and the turmoil and the NCAA stuff, the Jeremy Pruitt stuff, and quite frankly, just not being a very good program over the last 12 to 14 years, at what point, if you're a Tennessee fan do you start to look at the recruiting rankings and where they are, which we talked about last week? Right now, I think in the 30s for Tennessee, which is not good. At what point do you worry about that if you're a Tennessee fan with Josh Heupel? Are we there yet?
You'll be stunned to know I wrote about this.
Oh, boy.
The interesting thing, first of all, I mean, one class and one class's rankings at one particular time. Here we are about 6 weeks away from the early signing day. You got to take that with a grain of salt, but it has been enough time now to sort of, I mean, most of these classes are well into the teens. Some teams even have, like, you know, about 20 guys committed. Tennessee has 14, which is low. But it's just, look, if you 24/7 composite rankings, which I like because those are, that means it's a, you know, they take other services into account.
Yep.
I mean, right now, Tennessee is 12th in the SEC, is 32nd nationally. 32nd nationally, like, isn't bad, but that's the SEC, though. I mean, worst in the SEC right now, and Vanderbilt just had a decommitment, and they've fallen off from being top 25, but I mean, they're 43rd. So if you're Tennessee, you're way closer to Vanderbilt at 43 than you are to, I mean, even like Missouri is 14 in the nation.
Yeah.
You know, you got the usual suspects, Georgia 1 and Bama 2, but that's the thing. I mean, that's right. Like, you want to get into that territory at some point. And right now, I mean, by the rankings, you are being considerably outpaced by South Carolina, by Missouri, by Arkansas. And then, you know, you expect like A&M and LSU to be up there and stuff. I mean, everybody's going off on Dan Mullen this week, right? And, you know, granted, what he said was pretty dumb. It was also, I think, exaggerated a little bit.
Yep.
But, I mean, Florida's 22nd. I mean, that's still like you're 32nd. If you go through, so in this piece I wrote with Mitch Light, my editor, did the 10-year table, which is interesting. It's always interesting to look back at, like, what Tennessee has been doing. You can go back to, like, 15. So this is the past 10 years. You know, that was Butch's big class. Fourth nationally, second SEC. But for the most part, they've been right in the set, right in the middle of the SEC, but that's still like top 10. Pruitt had a top 10 class in 2020. Seventh in the SEC, 10th in the nation, which just tells you what you're dealing with here in this league. Pruitt's 19 class, seventh in the SEC, 13th in the nation. You still want to get better than that, but that's considerably better than right now, 32nd and 12th. And so it's early for sure, but this is one of those classes that's a foundation for what you want to do. I mean, this is a full class. You can't, like, I can't really expect Heupel to come in. I mean, a big part about this game this week is that Kentucky came in here and got the Wade twins from Summit, right? You can't, I mean, Heupel is like 2 months on the job at that point,
right?
You'd love him to come in and say, hey, come on, Tennessee, let's go, but that's not necessarily fair. But what it is fair is that this first full class gives you some hope that you can, you know, get into the upper reaches of the league and you can have a foundation. There's always a chance that players get developed and that you way perform your recruiting rankings. But over time, they got to be better than this.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I think Josh Heupel and his staff have done a pretty good job this year in terms of coaching and developing. And, you know, we had Adam Sparks on a few weeks ago and said basically defensively, pretty much everybody's played a full letter grade ahead of where you thought maybe they would be. And to me, that's coaching. Like, I think they've done a really good job with that. Now, that can only take you so far. Like, you at some point, you've got to have talent that's coming into your program that is at least close to on par with some of the teams that you're playing against. If not, there's only a certain amount of coaching you're going to be able to do. And that's essentially what Kirby Smart said the other day after the Georgia game. He's like, yeah, I mean, feel good about our staff, feel good about the way we coach, but it's recruiting. Like, we got a lot of really good players is basically what Kirby Smart said the other day, and that's the name of the game in the SEC.
Yep, Jimmys and Joes. I mean, it's like, look at the Bama game. To me, that was a really a great sort of showcase of what they've done this year, a lot of the game. And I thought – it was a well-coached game, and they made some plays, and they took advantage of some mistakes. And then it just sort of felt like, okay, now here comes the avalanche of just they're just too good.
Yep.
You know, they made those big plays at your expense. And, you know, the final score was a little bit deceiving, but that's what you're dealing with. And, again, you can't even think about the Georgias and Bamas who just keep stacking ridiculous class after ridiculous class. You can't – you have to think about the Kentuckys. I mean, Eli Drinkwitz is having a brutal year on the field. I mean,
yep.
He's fired his D-line coach. We've seen them play. They're bad. He is known as an obsessive recruiter who just, like, he – every Friday he is at a high school game. Like that's his rep. And with this bad product on the field, again, right now he's 14th in the country and he's fifth in the SEC. That's like, so if you're a Missouri fan, I mean, you gotta like, you can tolerate what you're seeing this year because you're like, okay, there are better days ahead. And I know some people are like, yeah, but just show me the football, man. I don't care about this stuff, but it does matter. I mean, it's amazing how college football recruiting has become its own entire sport, its own entire industry, really, right? And sometimes it's ridiculous. And there are programs that around college football who both ways underperform or overperform based on the recruiting rankings. They are not gospel, but over time they are correlated to success.
ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Sunday as Nashville SC takes on the New York Red Bulls at Nissan Stadium. By the way, Nashville SC clinching a home playoff game last night as well with Atlanta United going down. So good stuff for Nashville SC last night. You can listen to the pregame coming up on Sunday at 2:15, and the match begins at 2:30. We'll continue the discussion on the Vols and recruiting coming up next, including maybe some parallels between Dan Mullen and Josh Heupel. All that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC Equal Housing Lender. Michelle Knezovic's favorite song coming back in from break. I was wondering when she'd do that.
No, this is Tennessee's fight song.
I know.
Oh, I thought you meant I was playing the Kentucky one.
No. We know what this song is.
We know what it is.
This is an interesting version, by the way.
Yeah. Well, see, I've never heard it before, so I just clicked the first one, you know.
She's taking another shot.
Man. So you didn't watch that when Jeremy Pruitt took them apart in 2018? 24-7? You know what that game was?
Yeah. JG slinging that ball around, man.
I remember that day. I was like,
last year, JG was slinging that ball around to Kentucky.
Yeah, that's right. To Kentucky.
Went full circle.
Remember after that 18 when it was like, we found our coach, folks. We found our coach.
Oh, yes. Jeremy Pruitt.
Heard that a lot.
Is here.
Give him an extension. By the way, wait, who just got a huge ridiculous? Oh, yeah, PJ Fleck. College football so dumb. College football is drunk in so many different ways.
Do you think P.J. Fleck got his extension because people just enjoy him taking a dead sprint out there on the sideline?
Probably.
It's my favorite thing about P.J. Fleck is the just, I'm going to take off in a dead sprint on random occasions.
That's probably part of it. By the way, on the Fleck-Schiano feud that I have with He Who Shall Not Be Named,
yeah,
I'd say P.J. Fleck's doing a little bit better than Greg Schiano this year, but just saying.
I would say so. PJ Fleck.
But hey, I won't gloat.
Row the boat.
I won't gloat.
I mean, could have, I mean, conceivably, a Minnesota-Tennessee bowl game. That'd be something.
Yeah, that would be something.
PJ Fleck
it
and Josh
Heupel.
Something.
Yeah.
So
get excited, baby.
What have you made of the Dan Mullen stuff this week? Obviously, coming out, he was asked about recruiting earlier this week and essentially said, hey, we're not going to talk about recruiting right now in the season. We'll talk about recruiting when it's recruiting season, which everybody has run with, and basically I guess they just think Dan Mullen doesn't recruit during the season now.
Yeah,
that was Dan Mullen's sarcastic way of, hey, I don't want to talk about this right now, so I'm not going to talk about this right now. That's all that really was with Dan Mullen. But it has been interesting to see how that's taking on a life of its own, which that happens when things start to go the other way. Dan Mullen, everything was great at first with Dan Mullen at Florida, but things have started to go the other way in recruiting. started to go the other way on the field as well, and he's under some heat down there in Gainesville right now.
Yeah. Well, so Dan Mullen is, I mean, let's face it, Dan Mullen's a really good coach. He's also at times really unlikable.
Yep.
So, I mean, it was just a year ago. They take Georgia apart, and you're like, ooh, look at that. But they haven't been able to capitalize. I mean, it's just Georgia right now is – it's Georgia, and really it's Georgia and it's Alabama in terms of recruiting. It's just a totally different level. I mean, you can put Ohio State up there with them too, but like in this league, if for as well as Texas A&M has done, it's still not that, and Florida's not close. And I think the thing with Mullen is he is definitely the do more with less coach, which is really impressive. What he did at Mississippi State was very impressive. It doesn't always translate to, okay, now here you have to beat them for the best players. Yep. You have to load up five stars. You have to have basically mini NFL teams. If you want to win this league, you want to win your division. You're in the division with Georgia. And Kirby Smart has it rolling like, really, like Georgia never had it rolling under Mark Richt. I mean, this is actually new territory for that program. And that's the problem to me. The biggest problem for Dan Mullen is that Georgia exists and then just destroyed him on the field. And so now everybody's talking about recruiting, and I don't know. I still think Dan Mullen is a really good coach, and most programs would love to have Dan Mullen. But Florida hasn't recruited like that since when? Since Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
That's been a long time now.
It's been a long time. You talk about Tennessee not having excuses to be where they are recruiting. It's really not much of an excuse for Florida, too. I mean, they're right there in one of the most fertile recruiting grounds in the entire country. And here they sit, as you mentioned, 22 for the 2022 class right now on the composite rankings. Now, there's still a lot of time for that to change as they move forward here looking ahead to 2022, but 22 is not good for Florida.
And I do look at Heupel, and I see not personality-wise, but in terms of
– thankfully.
Yeah, but in terms of – I think what Heupel has done that has impressed is he's worked with quarterbacks, he's devised offenses, he's schemed up a lot of good stuff, and hasn't had the great recruiting success. Now, it's a lot earlier for him. I mean, he doesn't have the track record of taking a moribund program and really winning with it like you shouldn't be able to. During that coaching search, like if they can get Dan Mullen, that's a home run. I thought that at the time. And I still think a lot of him as a coach, but at some point it does come down to that. It comes down to this: the simplicity of, can you get the best players? And you're right, Florida has way less excuse than Tennessee. They have the best talent in the backyard. Tennessee has to go down there. I mean, even Georgia has. I mean, Georgia as a football talent state is one of the best, and then they're next to Florida. It's harder for Tennessee. But there, I do see a little bit of a comparison maybe there between those guys. This is where I think for both of them, Mullen and Heupel, like this is where you have to have great people on your staff who, and maybe in some cases, purely recruiters on your staff.
Yep. Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jim texting in, on Tennessee's recruiting, what was their ranking going into this year, and how much worse would it look without Josh Heupel? How would you assess the importance of the transfer portal as a source to beef up the recruiting class? Have a great show. Thank you, Jim.
Those are great questions. And you know, the portal, I mean, I'll tell you, one team right now doing awfully well. Michigan State got like 20 transfers, including Quavarius Crouch, who has been huge for them as a starting linebacker, including Kenneth Walker III from Wake Forest, who is the Heisman favorite. And so that's the thing, is you can have a class now like – that doesn't measure up, but if you hit home runs in the transfer portal, like I don't know off the top of my head what Oklahoma's recruiting class was last year, but I know that they got like a bunch of great dudes from Tennessee. Yeah, so you know, like so that is a huge part of it for sure, and you can make up ground there, and then they need to. I mean, Tennessee coming to this year got a couple key additions that they really needed, obviously. They already had Hooker in the fold when Heupel got the job. But, you know, you had Milton and Mitchell and some of these guys. That's got to be a big part of it without question. As far as coming in, I don't know what the ranking was like. You know, I mean, again, last year's class ended up 23rd.
Yep.
8th in the SEC, which was the lowest since 2013. And 2013 was the duly transitioning to Butch class, which ended up 25th. So last year's 23rd was the lowest. This right now, unless some things change, this will be the lowest ranked Tennessee class, probably going back to, you know, right in the middle of the Dooley era. So, I mean, it just basically to me, like, there hasn't been enough movement off what people are seeing on the field, but that doesn't mean there can't be in the next few weeks. That, I mean, they're still in for, you know, the D tackle, who I know a lot of people think he's going to A&M. But the kid from Powell,
yep,
five-star, and that's Walter Nolan. I mean, you got to get some guys like that. There's still some guys out there they could get that could change this around.
Jim texting back in, when will the NCAA announce some decision related to Tennessee's violation? This limbo period seems like a punishment in and of itself.
Yeah, and I don't know. But you know, we'll go back to a few weeks ago when David Ubbin and I did the thing talking to a lot of high school coaches. I mean, I don't think that that's – I think everybody out there, I'm sure there's coaches out there who are like, by the way, they're about to get the death penalty for 10 years and they're running out of scholarship. Right. I mean, like, I'm sure someone's saying stuff like that to recruits, but for the most part, the expectation is you're probably looking at a postseason ban for 1 year and some scout, maybe some, you know, coaches have to stay home. You cut down on travel, you cut down on scholarships a little bit. It's not, so yes, it's unfortunate. It's a limbo period. I kind of thought Tennessee would self-impose this year. Doesn't look like they are. It's still possible. It's still on the table that this team doesn't play in a bowl game. But I don't think that that's a huge thing on this. I mean, this is a class. Like, next year, that team should be able to be in the postseason.
Yeah.
So I don't see that as some huge factor.
Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Corner Pub in Brentwood this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 5 to 7 p.m. live at Corner Pub in Brentwood at 710 Old Hickory Boulevard prior to the Titans taking on the L.A. Rams. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. When we come back, we'll go around the NFL, some big storylines right now in the NFL, including a couple that are not very good. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Now with two locations in Murfreesboro, visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you. We're going to have Kayla Anderson from News 2 coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. So looking forward to having Kayla on with us. Get her thoughts on the Titans as they travel to take on the Rams on Sunday Night Football coming up. Speaking of, how bad do you think Sunday Night Football feels that Derrick Henry's not going to be a part of this? That's a tough one for them.
Yeah, they were really pushing the watching the Cowboys Vikings game.
Yeah.
They were really pushing Derrick Henry, and who were they pushing for the Rams? I guess Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not ideal. But hey, Adrian Peterson, he's a Hall of Famer.
I was kind of looking forward to seeing like a collision between Derrick Henry and Aaron Donald, just two absolute physical freaks of nature, just to see what would happen. Probably wouldn't go well for Derrick Henry there, but
you never know.
Never know.
No.
Imagine if he stiff-armed Aaron Donald into the ground.
This could still happen in the same stadium in February.
It could.
So, you know,
Joe, we're going to need lots of pictures of the stadium also.
Hmm. Yeah, you think that my picture-taking prowess would... I mean, I'm sure you could find an amazing virtual tour, you know, out there. I'll try.
We want the behind-the-scenes,
We want the Joe Rexroad videography. That's what we want.
I will take a picture of the press box meal. I will definitely do that for you.
Meanwhile, gladly. Kevin Byer is on Good Morning Football at the moment. He looks like he's like floating around in heaven with the background behind him. It's awesome.
Wow. Good stuff. It does.
Congratulations, Kevin Byer.
That's interesting.
It is very interesting.
Why didn't they put like the Titans thing behind him?
I don't know. Joe, some storylines around the NFL, and the first one is just an awful story. Henry Ruggs in a car crash the other night that killed a young woman and her dog. Henry Ruggs, you know, we were going to talk about this yesterday, and I'm kind of glad that we didn't because more details have come out on this now. Henry Ruggs had twice the legal limit of alcohol in his system. We knew that he was going to be charged with DUI at that time. But also reportedly going 156 miles an hour as this crash took place. 156 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Loaded handgun in the car. I mean, the mugshot of Henry Ruggs is, oh, man.
Yeah.
It's just an awful, awful story. Heart goes out to, you know, her family. But also, I mean, but Ruggs, I believe, has a daughter.
Yeah,
it's just it's awful, and just a terrible, terrible story. Yeah, it's one of those, like, when it first comes out, it's like, you know, how could, like, at this point, you don't have to be a professional athlete. Like, at this point, anyone, like, just get an Uber, you know. But this is more than that. I mean, you're going that kind of speed. I mean, it's an awful, tragic story.
It's an awful story, and, you know, Henry Ruggs now, you know, there was, I guess, the details of the charges out yesterday. He could face anywhere from 2 to 20 years in prison now at this point. And, you know, like I said, double the amount of blood alcohol level of the legal limit and going 156 miles an hour. And obviously, I mean, it ends up in the death of something. He hit the car so hard that it rolled 500 feet and the Toyota went up in flames. Mm-hmm. Like, you imagine how fast you got to be going to make a car roll 500 feet.
Well, apparently more than 120 miles an hour at impact.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of amazing that he's alive.
Yeah, it is.
Just a really awful story there. And obviously, you know, the Raiders released him. Number one, the timing of their release. It came out like right when the World Series was ending. So I guess PR on their part there, but they released him immediately pretty much. My guess is they saw the details of what was going on here and said, yeah, we're done with that. I mean, he's done. He's not playing in the NFL. I mean, he could be in jail for the next 20 years.
Right.
So he's done. His career is over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a shame. I mean, 22 years old, the career part of it's one thing, and that's a different discussion. But, I mean, you know, an innocent woman is now gone for no reason whatsoever.
It's just terrible.
We talked about the Aaron Rodgers story a little bit earlier. Going to be really interesting to see what comes of this. Jordan Love will make his first career NFL start coming up on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think a lot of eyeballs will be on that game, interested to see how Jordan Love plays in the game against the Chiefs. But going to be interesting to see what happens from the NFL's perspective with Rodgers. Rodgers had been asked about his vaccination status when he came back from the offseason as the Packers were getting ready for the season. And his quote was, yes, I have been immunized, and went on for a little bit longer than that answer, talking about, you know, vaccinated players getting COVID and how, I think even in the answer said, you know, some guys aren't vaccinated and I'm not going to judge those guys, was the quote that he had in the story. All the while, apparently he wasn't vaccinated while saying this.
I'm not going to judge myself who is not vaccinated, but I'm going to lie to you and make you think I am vaccinated.
Look, the vaccination discussion is, you know, obviously really hostile in this country, and I don't know how much productivity there is with us talking about vaccination discussions here, but it's also one of those things, like to your point earlier, like, you know, Kirk Cousins isn't vaccinated. Carson Wentz isn't vaccinated. Lamar Jackson's not vaccinated. But at least they're up front with it. Like, you know, yeah, it's not something that I believe in. It's not something I want to do. And, you know, they've handled their press conferences accordingly. I mean, you brought up Stephen Holder, who covers the Colts and covers the NFL now at large for The Athletic. Carson Wentz, when he has not had a mask on at his press conference, has been outdoors. Aaron Rodgers has not had a mask on indoors all year, and people didn't think twice about it because they thought he was vaccinated, and apparently he is not. A homeopathic treatment that he was getting. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. Michelle sent us something about some pills in Europe that got approved. I don't know. It's not like the cow worm stuff.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is also – so the Packers know as an organization.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some kind of punishment here. I guess the Packers should have probably made sure, right, when he was doing these pressers.
They're probably going to get fined.
Yeah. And they'll probably – I mean, we're listening to Keyshawn and Jay Will earlier. I mean, I kind of agree with what Jason was saying. Basically, like, this is the Packers. Packers should just completely take as much – blame for this as possible. I mean, he needs to talk, and I'm very interested to see what he says about this because it's just so weak.
Yeah.
To say, yes, I've been immunized, and then everyone reports he's vaccinated, and he just goes along with it. Like, I mean, if you have a problem with it or you're not going to do it, why are you so afraid of saying that?
You know?
But the Packers probably have an opportunity here. If you're a Packers fan who, like, you can do him a solid,
I guess,
to a point. I mean, it's only to a point. I mean, everybody looks at him and says, okay, he willfully was misleading. He lied. I mean, that's what he did. He lied. But the Packers could at least sort of fall on the sword and say, we screwed up. We should have done this, that. We decided to do this. We decided to send him to the pressers with the appearance that he's vaccinated. So, blame us. And Aaron, stay with us.
I guess.
I mean, I have no idea if that's – but, hey, it's worth a shot, man.
Yeah. I mean, on the field, this could have pretty big implications in the NFC. I mean, right now, Packers are the one seed. They're 7-1. They're the one seed in the NFC. He's not going to play on Sunday. I know Kansas City has had their problems, but you got to feel great if you're the Chiefs going up against Jordan Love rather than Aaron Rodgers. Like, quite frankly – the line was +1 for Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers in the game. I think there's a good chance Devontae Adams might be back in the building today, so he's probably going to play coming up on Sunday. You tell me Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams are in that game, they're probably going to absolutely eviscerate that Kansas City defense. So feel a little bit better about Jordan Love. And now Rodgers is out a minimum of 10 days. So that puts him to next Saturday on the timeline for when he could potentially come back. Which, could he come back on a Saturday and be ready to play at a pretty high level on a Sunday? Probably. But, that's if everything goes perfectly. He has to be asymptomatic before he comes back in. So this could be a big deal in the NFC.
So Packers fans, such as yourself, I think should be really mad at Aaron Rodgers.
I am mad at Aaron Rodgers.
Good. So in your Packers chat.
It's gone all over the place,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you got some people who just can't be mad. Can't be mad at McLovin.
Yeah. It's gone all over the place.
I mean, this could cost them. This could be very costly in that
or maybe
conference.
Could be the beginning of the Jordan Love era, as some people in my Packers chat have said.
Well,
this could be that.
You do get a look at Jordan Love now. You're going to get a long look.
What do you think of the Odell Beckham Jr. stuff out of Cleveland? They tried to trade him. Didn't work out at the deadline. And now, I guess Kevin Stefanski yesterday basically told Cleveland that he's not going to be a part of the team much anymore and that he's at home. Kind of an interesting story, how he's gone from, a piece that was supposed to take them over the top at one time, and now apparently they don't even want him in the building.
Well, and then what, his dad is posting but
videos of every time Baker Mayfield could have thrown him the ball on film.
But as people pointed out, like, do you really think that, like, Beckham's dad put that together? Like, it's like professionally with music put together, this whole – but he shared it. He tweeted it out. Which I'm sure the Browns very much appreciated. So, yeah, that, their whole thing, including this, I thought actually the Browns could potentially this year be really good. And, some of this is just injuries that
sure.
You can't account for, but starting to feel a little bit brownish over there. Like vintage brownish.
It is. I mean, think about him. Last year, he tears the ACL, so he played 7 games last year, 319 yards, 3 touchdowns. This year, he's played in 6 games. He's had 17 catches, 232, and no touchdowns. Like, I mean, he might be done in terms of being an upper echelon receiver in this league. Like, there are people that say, well, Odell Beckham Jr.'s had one good catch in his career, and he's made a career off that. I mean, 1,300 yards, 1,400 yards, 1,300 yards, and two more seasons over 1,000. He's been pretty good.
Yeah, he's been an all right receiver in this league.
But I don't know that we're going to see that level out of him again.
No, and he's also had a bunch of injuries, stuff like that, and then just the weirdness like this, which certainly doesn't get shared unless it's with his blessing. I mean, like, you're making yourself less attractive to the next potential team. And your play on the field is not so good that it overcomes that.
Right.
See, so you're sabotaging yourself here.
Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game Sunday, you win a Nashville SC prize pack. Participate tomorrow morning at 9:45. We'll continue the discussion around the NFL when we come back. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit ballstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezvic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've reached the point in the week where I have to look at what day of the week it is. Forgot what day. It's Thursday, which means Thursday night football, Joe Rex Road, which means a matchup between the mighty New York Jets, who pulled off the upset last week against Cincinnati, and the Indianapolis Colts. We've talked about the Titans' path to winning this division, how, you know, the Colts are going to have to basically go 7-2 down the stretch here. It would help the Titans tremendously if the New York Jets and Mike White could pull off another upset tonight. What a story that would be.
Well, the Colts 7-2 if the Titans only go 3-6.
Correct.
Which is not going to happen. So, yeah, basically the Colts have to just about win out, I think. And so you might want to beat the Jets tonight. But, yeah, Mike White coming off a monster game for the Jets.
I just want to point out the Colts are like a 10.5-point favorite in this game. That's a pretty big line.
That is a big line. I don't know how I feel
Not
about that.
Not a lot of faith in Mike White.
I don't know how to feel about that.
He just put up 400 yards.
I feel like he may be one of those one-game wonder type things. I mean, that's probably what it is. But I don't know. Western Kentucky fans will tell you. He can sling it.
Yeah, man. Jordan on the text line, who is a resident Colts fan, could be worried about this one tonight between the Jets and the Colts.
Yeah?
If they lose to the Jets, just go ahead and print the hats for the Titans.
Yes, and probably drop the whole play. Because the thing is, I mean, the Colts, very, very slim chance of winning the division, but still in there for a playoff spot.
Right.
You got to win this one. You got to win all the. I mean, they got Jets and Jags, and then get to 5-5.
Yeah,
you know, 5-5, and you got a 7-game run, probably for a wild card spot. I mean, that's realistically what they're after. But you gotta get to 5-5.
I got a texture that says silly underdog picks for the week. I parlayed them together for a long shot. The Jets, the Titans, and the Vikings all will win. Hopefully. A $2 bet turns into 106. Probably won't happen, but definitely wishful. So taking the Jets and the Titans this week and the Vikings.
Never say never.
Okay.
Look, it's the NFL. Stranger things have happened.
No doubt. I mean, we have Johnny on here telling us about his survivor pool a lot. You know, those are...
Which, by the way, if you've made it this far into the season on a survivor league, doing a pretty good job.
You've done very well. That's better than I've ever done. So, but that's why this league chews up survivor leagues, right?
Yeah. I got someone on Twitch saying, did you all see the story about the Titan coach on their phone on the sidelines? Curious about your thoughts on this and what may happen. I did see this kind of floating around on Twitter the other day. There's, I guess, a shot from the CBS broadcast that was on Mike Vrabel, and in the background, you can see like a phone out on the sideline. So, obviously, that's not encouraged to have your phone on the sideline available to you in the NFL. So I don't really know what's going to happen on this.
This is the first I've heard of. I have not heard a peep about this. So breaking news for me. I don't know. I'm Googling right now.
Yeah.
I'm searching Twitter right now. So it was the TV shot of Vrabel, and there was someone behind him on their phone.
Appeared to be, yes.
Yeah, okay. Ordering a pizza. There's not a lot of possibilities be. There.
Calling every doctor in the country.
No. Thank you for bringing up corned beef hash.
Calling every doctor in the country. See if they could get a foot specialist in there. Look at Derrick Henry, maybe.
I mean, that's possible, too.
I don't know.
There's been some weird stuff that has happened at Indy.
Yeah.
I was there for Shiano Sunday. How many years ago was it that Dean Pease had to leave and go to the hospital?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Early in that game, which was a complete blowout for the Colts. You have all this stuff, obviously, this week on Halloween. And then apparently, yeah, Titans. I don't know. I can't find anything on this. But good question to ask today. Who was it?
I don't know. Couldn't tell. Tom from Clarksville on the text line. If the Jets beat the Colts after beating us and the Bengals, do we start looking at that loss earlier in the season as an okay loss to a somewhat decent team? This is coming from Tom. So if the Jets win tonight, do you feel better about that loss if you're the Titans?
No, not really. I mean, look, that loss was without your top two receivers.
Yep.
But not really. I don't think the Jets are going to make that look okay. I guess if they keep beating people, it looks different. But even then, they were bad then. Like, they were bad at that moment.
I mean, if they win tonight, they go to 3-5. Indy be 3-6.
Then, you know, then why are you going to play Zach Wilson? Okay, here we go. Oh, I see. I'm finding this now.
Yeah.
So it's a coach looking at his cell phone, it looks like, not on it. But he's got his cell phone out.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it's interesting because you think about life now, right?
Yeah.
Like it's hard for a human on this planet to go like an hour without. Sometimes, I know it's hard for me.
Sometimes I will look at my phone just out of habit. Like I don't, there's nothing I'm trying to do. I just like, oh, wonder what's going on.
What's just your screen time every week? Do you guys get those notifications?
Yeah, but I forget.
I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's a lot.
Would like 3.5 hours, or does that sound low?
That sounds kind of low.
Yeah, maybe it's more than
I think mine was like 7 one time, and yeah. I was like, I need to put my phone
that's
away.
A third of the day.
So again, that's screen time for a week or a day?
A week.
Average per day. Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, this picture, the guy definitely has his phone out for sure. You know, it's one of those things. You know, if you're on the, you know, you're on the side, you're like support staff or something. You're on the sideline. You're not really coaching.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people on the sidelines who aren't coaches. You know, there's
sure.
I mean, you know, there's PR people that are on there sometimes. There's a lot of different support. You know, someone. You know, it's like you get a text from someone in your family about something. You know, you can't look your phone real quick. Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe this will have ramifications. Maybe the Titans are cheaters.
You think so?
I don't know. Keeping an open mind.
It's just kind of amazing that got caught on camera. There's just Vrabel zooming in on Vrabel's face, and somebody's got their phone in the background.
What is the fine for that?
I have no idea. I don't know that I've ever seen this situation come up before.
So, okay, it's 16. Giants, walkie-talkies, against the Cowboys. So that was 200K. But that was willfully trying to communicate, right, like illegally. That's 200K in a draft pick for that. I'd say if like one person, whoever it was, I think it's actually important distinction if it's a coach or not.
Oh, it's very important, yes.
You know, glance at your phone. What is that? I mean, it's not going to be some big thing.
I wouldn't think so. Got a text that says the Titans coach on the phone. They were calling about his car's extended warranty. Maybe so.
Yeah, I get a lot of spam calls.
Nathan from Lawrenceburg texting in. I'm not in your fantasy league, but how are Robbie and Joe doing in the standings?
Don't bring that crap up.
I'm glad you asked.
Don't bring that crap up. I don't want to hear about this.
I believe Joe Rexrode. Are you in last? Are you in dead last?
I would hope so. My God, I've won one game.
You're in dead last. Robbie Stanley.
I lost to Brennan, which is very depressing.
Yeah, Robbie Stanley started the season 0-1 and have rolled off 7 in a row since then. 7-1.
Darn you.
First place.
Darn
okay, but
you
also don't have Aaron Rodgers this week, so...
Doesn't matter. I'm still projected to win.
Are you?
Yes.
Hey, I was projected to win last week, and LeGoat beat me by like 2.
I'm actually glad this was brought up, because I guess... By the way, Brennan... I'm just going to tell you guys this. Brennan last night was like, Dad, can you just trade me your best player so I can win the league? And I said, no.
No, that cannot.
I believe in the integrity of the league, and I absolutely will not do that. And also, he beat me by 40 points last week when I talked trash when I was winning. But I do need to probably get a new back for my number one pick.
Not having Derrick Henry is probably an issue.
Joe, you're going against me this week.
Oh, okay. Well, then there we go.
Big matchup.
So I haven't played you yet.
No.
So I've lost to Brennan. I can't lose to Michelle. I can't lose to you.
I will say Robbie's only loss is to me.
Yeah.
So I don't care that you're first. I just got
to
say that.
What's your record? 12-1.
I think I'm a solid 500. I think I'm 4-4.
Okay.
There you go. Rexrod definitely.
Are there any
last.
Stakes? Yeah. No, I'm absolutely dead last. Fantasy Nightmares, wherever that is 2-6. Are there any stakes at the like?
No, if you win, you get to be a part of the league next year.
So if you win, you get to be a part of the league next year?
Yes.
That's all you win?
Yes.
Good.
Great grand prize for me. Get to be a part of my own league.
Congratulations.
Thank you. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. We'll be joined by our good friend Kayla Anderson from News 2. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.